Recorded live right here in Little Rock, Arkansas, it's Larry's Rants, Raves, and Reviews. And now, here is Larry.
Well, Randy.
Yeah.
Daddy's home.
Daddy, let's say it again.
Daddy's home.
There you go. I had to do it again. I think our audience is for it.
I got to tell you, I'm telling you, the day's just been an emotional day for me.
I think it needs another clap. Daddy's is home.
Honest
All right,
to God.
That's enough.
That's enough of that. I honest to God, I woke up about 4 a.m. this morning.
Yeah.
And I'm like, good God, today's the day. And
that's
it,
right.
All of a sudden, this, you know, I don't get too fearful, but I kind of got really scared all of a sudden. I'm like, dear God. And I mean, I literally prayed, God, keep President Trump safe.
Yeah.
Because I figured they were going to pull some kind of a stunt of either kill him before he could take the oath, or they were going to come in and arrest him or something.
Yeah,
you
something.
Know? Mm-hmm. So anyway, well, the title of our show tonight is Daddy's Home, and my grandson James bought me this T-shirt for Christmas.
How about that?
How do you like
Daddy's
that?
Home.
Daddy's
there
home.
He is.
Trump standing in front of the
Pull
White
it up
House.
Just a little bit. Stand up a little bit.
Yeah,
there.
A little
just
bit there. That. Those of you that are on video.
There you go.
There you go. So, James, thanks for my T-shirt. The moment I opened that on Christmas morning, I said, "I know what show that's going on.
That's right.
Can't wait for it." So.
That's right.
Thanks, James, for my president.
Well, I'm glad we're here.
And then I found out that, now, I don't know who this man is, but I watched the video of it. Tom McDonald and Roseanne Barr, of all people, dropped this new song in, for the inauguration entitled Daddy's Home. He's some kind of a rapper.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that.
Oh, really?
No. Nope.
Yeah, I'll send you the video of it. Daddy's Home. So I'm like, well, dang it, they stole my idea for a show. I don't know. Maybe that's where this T-shirt come from. You know, I'm just an old fart.
Maybe,
that I don't know
maybe
these
they
things.
Saw it. Maybe they saw our show and then heard maybe you had said something
that
about it.
That could be.
I think that was it, Larry.
That could be.
It was one of our, what, how many we got now? 60, 70, 70 subscribers?
Oh, I think we are up to like 65 on YouTube.
65?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's time to it's time to like, share, and subscribe.
Please do.
We need
Please
to get
do.
Up to... We need to get up to a couple of hundred here by the next week.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Please help us out, folks.
Yeah.
Well, now, speaking of that, doing a little bit of advertisement, I got a couple of shout-outs here. One of them is to Highway Patrolman Tennery from from Texas. He's a highway patrolman, and I got to admit that come Christmas, I was a little upset because, you know, these idiots get in the left lane, and they want to stay there. And
especially
drive.
In Texas.
Yeah, and they drive about 55, and it's against the law. So, you know, we're in Carol's Expedition, and I punch it to the floor, and I mean, I'm rocking and rolling, and I'm weaving in and out and in and out of traffic, and all of a sudden, here come the lights. The lights were right behind me. I guess he's weaving with me, and I didn't even know it, okay? Mm-hmm. So he pulls me over, and he comes over to the window, to the passenger window, and he goes, "Sir, are you okay?" Well, I had my license out and my concealed carry permit out. I said, "No, sir, I'm not." Now, officer, I'm just going to be honest with you. You asked me the question, and no, I am not okay. He said, "Can I ask you what's going on?" I said, "These idiots that are in the left lane that won't move over and let me go around, and they want to do 55 when it's 80 miles an hour out here, are driving me insane." And I said, the only thing I was trying to do was weave in and out and get to the front of the pack so that I could punch it and drive away from them. And then I would take a deep breath and calm down.
And
he looked at me and he goes, "Sir, I feel your pain because I'm out here and this is part of my job to help get that corrected." I said, "The problem of it is I never see any of you officers doing it. I'm behind these idiots from Little Rock, Arkansas, all the way to Dallas, and I just don't see that many of you pulling people over and correcting it." I said, here's my stuff. Just, you know, go ahead. So he comes back and he says, "Sir, I'm only going to give you a written warning. I'm not going to give you a ticket." I understand. He said, "So all I can do is ask you, take a deep breath, get into the flow of traffic." And he said, "I'm going to follow you for a few miles. And if I see anybody that's riding in that left lane, I'm going to pull them over, and you can see me in your rearview mirror. So I tell this story, and I get to it, and I'm telling it at Christmas, and I tell the kids, James gone to bed, and I tell the kids. So the next day, I'm telling James, I said, so James, then you'll be proud of me. He goes, you did it, didn't you? I said, I sure did. When he handed me back my license, I handed him a card and said, hey, do you ever listen to podcasts?
I thought you was going to say he recognized you from the show.
That's it. Yeah.
That's why he didn't give you a ticket.
That's a better story. I'll go with that. But James was like, Papa, I know you so well. I knew that's what you was going to tell me. And so I gave him my podcast card. And then there's another shout out, Rosalyn at Nordstrom Rack in Frisco. I'm going to give her a shout out.
Cool.
She helped me with some new clothes. And I tried on new clothes for probably 2.5 hours or three. And Carol and Courtney was with me and dragging clothes back and forth and everything. And she was like a personal shopper for me.
Yeah.
Did an awesome job. So if you need any new clothes, go to Nordstrom's Rack there in Frisco and she'll help you out.
Where is that at? Is it in the mall?
Preston? Road? Preston, yeah. Yeah, it's right on Preston.
It's on Preston.
Yeah. Okay. And it's got all kinds of shopping around it. But anyway, she helped me out, and I gave her my card. She said she's going to listen. So, Rosalyn, I hope that you're listening to us. And
we're going down there next weekend. So yeah. We might drive in there. I think we're staying in Frisco.
Go in there and ask for Rosalyn. She's a sweet girl. Here's a shout-out for Susan, and I believe she's from the state of Kansas. It says, I watch you on YouTube all the time. You do a wonderful job putting the information out. I'm telling others all about it. Keep up the great job, and we love you guys.
Cool.
So, hey, thanks, Susan, for that shout-out. And here's one that honestly printed it out, and then I forgot who sent it to me and where it's from, but says, loved this, Larry. Wow, I'm sure very few people know this information. Thanks so much for sharing and getting this out there. People better wake up. Thanks again, and I pray God's blessings over your podcast.
There you go.
So, well, thank you, whoever sent that in. Send some more. Yeah, send some more notes and everything.
Here's
Randy.
The email.
Yeah.
Say your email.
LarryB@larrysrrr.com.
Give Larry some emails so he can read. And please. He needs a little more than one or two a week.
Yeah, we go to dinner all the time, and Randy asked me last time, we got any emails? I made one up for y'all. So.
Did we get some emails, Larry?
No.
Not this week, Randy.
Don't make me lie to him. Please
get any new subscribers? No, not this week, Larry.
But I did surprise you. We got to 60, and you said, well, we've only got 60. I said, no, we got four more somehow. So, you know, I did get a text from one of our followers on YouTube. He said that he was today. He was looking or thought we was doing a good job, and he was watching the Trump inauguration and all. So
he was going to think about subscribing then.
Oh, he already subscribed.
Oh, he did.
Yeah,
okay.
And he told about four or five of he's good. The guy I told you a few shows ago. He's my mechanic, and he told four or five of his guys, and they jumped on real quick. And so that's the way to get our word out, folks. Help us out.
I had open house Sunday. I think I had about six couples come through, and I had my MAGA hat there and in the bathroom there, and they saw it when they were touring the house, and some of them came through and had mentioned it, you know, says, well, I like your hat. And I said, well, I said, here's the card now. It goes with the show. So
go listen.
Yeah. And let me build you a house.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, we was talking about, and really this whole show, we're just going to sit and chit chat a little bit about President Trump. Isn't it good to have a real president, one that's actually elected and one that loves America and loves us?
I stayed at home all day. Today, we're recording Monday, which is the day of the inauguration. We record on Mondays, release on Wednesdays. But today, I stayed at home. It was so cold. Jay was checking a job, so I said, I'm going to stay at home. And I watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it was great.
I've only seen bits and pieces of it. I'm going to go over, there's some stuff over on Fox News that my kids sent to me, a couple of videos and all. But I've got to tell you, my son-in-law, Dallas, was talking about how fabulous his his speech was today.
It was. Both of them.
Well, I got to tell you, the one last night, he was on fire.
Yeah.
I mean, my gosh,
I'm telling you, you used to see the one that he did when Biden was behind him. It was like, well, they say heaping coals of ashes and stuff are on top of your head. You could see he was going down further and further. He was saying all that, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to get rid of this. And it was just like you could see the smoke rise.
Well, wonder what Commie Lawlaw, what was going through her head.
She was there. It was just like she was in a daze, though. You know, she was probably around.
She was probably so drunk.
I was going to say that. I'm glad you did. Well, I think she was.
My job is to be the wild man. Your job is to throttle me back sometimes. Well, let's give one more shout out to Governor Greg Abbott from Texas.
Why, sure.
You know, Biden, of course, you know, in respect, even though I don't have any for Jimmy Carter, but, you know, he did die, and out of respect, we fly our flags at half staff, you know, for 30 days. I don't have any respect for the guy, but if I had a flag, I wouldn't be right doing that anyway. But, you know, that's just me. But anyway, you know, Biden wanted all the flags to stay where they were, and Greg Abbott came out and he said, no, today is inaugural day.
We're going to raise it.
I saw that. And we'll be more than happy to put it back down.
Oh, yeah.
But for Trump, for today, we're putting it up. Mm-hmm. So shout out to that fabulous governor. And
yeah, he brought him up several times and said, "Hey, you're now going to have some help."
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he's been down there doing everything on his own, trying to figure out how to do it and all that. He said, "Now you're going to have some help today."
Yeah,
we're signing the orders.
Absolutely. Well. Oh, boy, we may wake up to a whole new world tomorrow, because I think that, you know, we kept saying on here that we hope that Trump would come in and kick butt and don't even care about taking names, and I'm pretty confident that's what he's doing.
I think so.
Yeah. He don't even care what your name is.
No.
He's just going to kick some butt. Mm-hmm. So, well, here's something I found that I think that you'll like. He's one of your favorite guys and honestly becoming one of mine. I don't know if somebody could take all of the one-liners that this guy has put together and make a coffee table.
Are you talking about Kennedy?
Kennedy, who? Yeah.
God,
yeah.
I love him.
John Kennedy.
He reminds me of Judge Judy. He's real easy at the very, you know, like, we are so glad you're here.
Uh-huh.
And then, I mean, for the first 10 seconds, and then all of a sudden he sticks a fork in you and turns you over. He tears you. He rips you, man.
Well, I'd say he's probably a cross between her and maybe Paul Harvey, because he's got some of the greatest one-liners and timing. Kind of a dry sense of humor of a guy, you know? So, well, his response to the Hollywood liberals. Now, this happened right after the election, but I thought it was worth, I haven't brought it up any. But, you know, he's famous for his way with words, and it says, he said during an appearance on Sean Hannity right before Thanksgiving, Kennedy was asked to respond to comments from Hollywood liberals like Sharon Stone, who recently blamed uneducated Americans for Trump's landslide victory. Now, we're uneducated, okay?
Right. Uh-huh.
Because if you disagree with a liberal, you're uneducated or it's hate speech, you know? So it says that Kennedy kept his response dignified, but he did point out that these are the same people who believe their children can change genders and who somehow believe they are morally superior to the rest of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's true. But here's a direct quote of his. I love this. Well, here's what I think. Now, you can just imagine him saying that with his Louisiana lingo, you know. Here's what I think. I think these people are goofy. They have the right to their opinion, but they're just goofy. They hate George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln and Dr. Seuss and Mr. Potato Head. They think our kids ought to be able to change genders at recess. They carry around Ziploc bags of kale to give themselves energy. To me, to each his own. To me, kale tastes like I'd rather be fat. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
I just thought that you would enjoy that.
Oh, yeah.
So
he's my favorite.
It's a little bit of old information, but I thought, heck, Randy needs to have that out there. So, well, hey, I heard rumor that I heard rumor that Trump was going to sign over 200 executive orders this afternoon.
Well, just, I mean, when I come up, he was down there on the TV at about, what time is it now? 6:30 It was about 6 o'clock. Yeah. 6 yeah. o'clock, he was signing them. He was signing them right in front of everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, right there in his...
They said that he gave his speech and then went back to the Oval Office. And then I watched some before I came out to the studio some of the show, or some of his speech and all. And he was saying, I'm going to sign these here. I think he wanted to do the sign the J6 pardons, in public like he did.
Uh-huh.
I think that's what he was doing when you saw him on the TV.
Yeah, I don't know if he signed that one. He was signing a bunch of them, and then he was taking the pens and he was throwing them into the audience.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Everybody was grabbing them.
Well, then he said, I'm going back to the Oval Office and I'm going to sign a bunch more.
He's going to do a whole bunch more.
So anyway.
I do know that he took us out of the Paris Accords. So.
Okay.
I think the guy said it would save us. Let's see, $1 billion, $2 trillion just doing that.
My gosh.
Bam.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, if you'll remember back, you know, we did a show with your son-in-law entitled something like The First 10 Things That I Would Do If I Was Elected President.
Mm-hmm.
And one of mine was I would sign one executive order that would cancel out every one of them that Biden and Hussein, either one of them or both of them, ever signed.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm happy to see that he's doing a bunch of this and reversing those just immediately.
I wish he could reverse all those pardons he gave. What, how many thousand or whatever it was?
Over 8,000 the last time I looked up some records. And I think that he did something like 1,200 more. So he's probably above 9,000.
He pardoned his whole family while Trump was giving his speech.
Yeah, sure did. Yeah. I mean, on inaugural day, he jumps up and does that.
Yeah, that way he can't say anything about it in his speech.
Yeah, the thing of it is, he pardoned him, and then you know he also pardoned Fauci and what's that ugly one woman's name that did the J6 committee? Well, the entire J6 committee.
Mm-hmm.
General Mark Milley, Tony Fauci,
mm-hmm.
and now a couple of thoughts on that, Randy, is I've got a copy of the executive grant of clemency here, and it says for any nonviolent offenses, now get this word, against the United States, against.
Mm-hmm.
The United States, which they may have committed or taken part in during the period from January 1, 2014 through the date of this pardon. Against the United States.
Hmm.
Now, the Supreme Court has ruled that accepting a pardon implies an acknowledgement of guilt. So right. I want to put that out there.
Right.
That's worth repeating. You know, and I don't know, these preemptive pardons that he's doing, I just have to think that is well worth taking to the Supreme Court and pushing, because I want our president to have power, but I don't want the abuse of power, and this is obviously an abuse of power. This
sure
is horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, just horrible. You know, unless you have a verdict, unless you have been convicted— How can you get a pardon?
I mean, even on trial for something.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing started.
So it seems to me like that the Supreme Court should be able to override every one of these preemptive pardons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Seems that way.
Now, they probably can't go back and get his son. They probably can't do that. But I think all of these that he did this morning, these preemptive pardons, I think they can go back and fix that mess. I really do.
Just like those indulgences, you know. I'm going to forgive you of your sin before you do it.
Do they sell those on Amazon? Because I'd like to buy a six-pack of those.
If they had Amazon back in when they did those, they probably would.
They would be filthy rich even more than they are today, I'll tell you. Yeah, if anybody can find out where to buy some of them indulgences, I'll take a six-pack, okay? count me in, because I'm tired of being Mr. Goody Two-Shoes all the time. Oh. So, well, hey, let's take a break. We'll come back and yak some more about this stuff.
All right.
Bobby's Country Cooking. It's like Sunday after church at Grandma's, except it's Monday through Friday, 10:30 to 2. Homestyle cooking with generous portions, entrees, sides, and desserts to die for. Dine in or get it to go. We're in the West Chase Plaza at the corner of Shackelford and Markham. Bobby's Country Cooking.
Okay, folks, we're back. Well, we was talking about the executive orders that Trump is signing today, but, you know, Randy, Speaker Johnson got on a podcast called The Free Press in D.C. and spilled his guts about how he said that Joe Biden was signing all kinds of executive orders and doesn't even know what he signed.
I saw a little bit of that. He asked and told him, said, "You signed this." He said, no, that's not what I signed. He said, "It is." Yeah. It is. He doesn't know. He didn't know what he signed. He probably didn't know all the stuff he signed ago.
That's the whole thing. And in this podcast, it says here, Mike Johnson confirms that Joe Biden isn't in control in signing executive orders. He doesn't understand, but that he asked to meet with Biden about this.
Mm-hmm.
And the CIA director had to be present.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so it said, and this is part of his quote, Johnson's quote. He said, "They invited me to the White House. I show up and realize it's actually an ambush.
Yep,
because it's not just me and the president. It's also Kami Lala, Chuck Schumer, and the head of the CIA director."
Mm-hmm.
So he said, "I don't know who's been shoving these papers in front of him, but he's just sitting there signing."
They didn't want him in the room by himself with him.
And so I think that the big thing is that who in the world has been running the country, and we kind of think it's the CIA.
Right.
You know, Putin was quoted here the other day, and it's so bad. America's so bad that I will actually believe Putin before I will believe some of the leaders of my own government. I mean, I really will.
Yeah.
But he said that, you know, all the murders and all the mess ups and all the stuff that's going on, he said, that's the CIA's fault,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it really is. So anyway, well, the one thing I can say, it seems like Mike Johnson, the speaker, is starting to come around. Not that I got a lot of faith in him, but I'm putting some in him. I'm going to give him an opportunity to prove me wrong. But he says that he told Congress, "You better put on your big boy pants. We're going to work 24/7, and we're going to work overtime. Tell your spouses you probably won't be home very much, because we're going to put the agenda that President Trump wants in place right now."
Right. Good.
So
we'll see if they do it.
I hope that he does.
If he can rally them all and do it, he's got to. But you know, just one or two of them, I'm afraid, will say, you know, "I want to draw some attention to myself, and I think I will hold up on this."
Yeah.
And they'll get all the attention, and hopefully that won't happen. But
well, and we're all smart enough to realize that Trump only has, and any leader only has, a certain amount of honeymoon period, you know. And I think that that's why Trump is so brilliant right now in doing everything he's doing. You know, he is coming in, he's getting more accomplished in the first few days than Biden Harris has ever accomplished in 4 years.
Oh, sure.
All they've done is tear our country completely apart, you know. So, anyway. Well, I had heard that Bush, the Clintons, Hussein, and Big Mike were not attending the inauguration.
No, they
you
were
told
there.
Me that they did.
They were there.
Really?
Well, we saw them come in, and they got, I think when they were outside, when they were coming up, they got a bunch of booze.
Good for them. Yeah, I hope
so.
I wouldn't shake any of their hands if they walked up right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really.
Right.
I mean, I can't stand them. You know, it's rumored that Hussein and Big Mike are getting a divorce.
Well, she was not there.
Well, so, you know, she skipped, what's his name's funeral? Peanut Farmer. What's his name? Senior moment here.
Yeah, I know it. Two senior moments.
Golly. Jimmy Carter. Oh, boy.
You need me to edit that out. You
no, know, just leave it in
there.
Leave it in there. We are what we are, folks. Yeah, she didn't attend the funeral. and which I wouldn't have wanted to sit by him, you know, myself.
No.
But I wouldn't have wanted him at the inauguration. Mm-hmm. I would have said, hey, I'll see you in a little bit because I'm going to try my best to put you behind jail, put you behind bars. So anyway, well, even if it's just a rumor, I'll be more than happy to push that along. And but I understand that they're having some real marital problems. And
well, you know, that's the fourth R.
That's right. Let's put it out there. Well, you know, and you know me, if there's ever an opportunity to bash Hussein, I certainly want to do it.
Whether it's a rumor or not.
Absolutely. Just give me a good rumor and I'll peddle it along, you know. But George Clooney's got his panties in a wad. Did you hear about that?
No, I haven't heard this one.
Yeah, he's got his panties in a wad. He said that he was manipulated by Hussein. Because he said that he helped to talk Biden out of running for the second term and that he bought into Kami Lala thinking that they had everything all wrapped up, sewn up, and everything was great. Mm-hmm. Well, then she miserably lost.
Of course.
And now he's sitting there all humiliated and everything.
Is he going to leave the country?
Well, I would hope so.
I thought he was one of the ones of the many that were going to leave the country.
Has any of them left yet except what's that one chick's name, and then her house got all flooded up, you know.
Was it flooded or fired?
It was flooded. Was it? Actually, yeah. Her and her woman friend. Forget her name. Boy, I'm having some senior moments on this show.
What are you talking about?
Well, anyway, she's gone.
Move on.
Okay, I will. Hey, here's something worth just bashing Hussein about a little bit. It says, Obama says Trump has a history that needs to be examined, and yet there's 14 different things here that all of his records are sealed, including his baptism record. It's sealed, okay?
Okay.
So now, and so then here's a guy, his name is Professor Henry Graff. It said, I taught at Columbia for 46 years. I taught every significant American politician that ever studied at Columbia, and I know them all. I'm proud of them all. Between American history and diplomatic history, one way or another, they all had to come through my classes. Not Obama. I never had a student with that name in any of my classes. I never met him, never saw him, never heard of him. None of the other Columbia professors knew him either.
Hmm.
Well, thank you, Professor Henry Graff, for letting us know that, you know, and just a moment.
So he wasn't in class.
Throw some trash. Yeah. And if he was, he's probably under a fake name, but, you know, he was there. Under the foreign student thing, so because he's really not, he was never born in America. He should have never been allowed to be president.
Mm-mm.
And so, yeah, I'm a birther, folks. I really am. I just, you know,
the rumor's true.
Well, it is true. I mean, like I keep saying.
Well, I mean, sounded good.
I keep saying if my conspiracy theories quit coming true, I'll quit being one. But until then, well, we're here, folks. Here's a guy, Joshua. He's an NSC senior staffer. He warns about some things dangerous that could undermine President Trump in his second term. And he goes on, and basically his whole thing, I won't read the article just to touch on it, but he said the National Security Council is a group of office staffers who sit in the White House and ensure that the departments and agencies of the United States government do what the president wants them to do, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So all they're there is to do that. But he said he's heard a significant number of Biden NSC staffers will be kept on once President Trump is sworn into office.
Hmm.
Now, I think that we talked about, and it was one of your points back during that top 10 first things that we would do. You said you'd fire everybody.
Fire everybody.
And that was part of, I believe, Trump's downfall in his first term.
Yep.
He kept all of those Hussein lovers on there. And I kept saying, if they worked under Hussein, a criminal, a crook, a communist like him, why on God's green earth would you keep him on staff? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I don't know why Trump did that other than the fact he loves people and wants to give people a second chance.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he is going to this time.
I hope not.
I think
not.
He's learned his lesson.
I hope not.
He's going to come in and fire them all.
Yeah, well, you know, I read an article on X the other day that said that the State Department had to hold therapy sessions for federal employees after Trump was elected.
Well, yeah. He's making them come back to the office. I saw that right before I come up. Right before I came into this recording, the last one he was signing was he was going to make all those thousands and thousands of federal employees go back to work at the office, not at home.
Those poor little precious things.
Yeah, they've been home since COVID.
Love its heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Randy, the last three presidents that challenged the deep state establishment, John F. Kennedy, Ronald Reagan, and now Donald J. Trump.
Right.
You know what they three have in common?
They've all been shot.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it was by coincidence.
Yeah.
So let's just hope to God that we keep him safe. And honestly, I woke up at 4 a.m. and I said, "Dear God, please, please keep him safe," because I thought they might take
just
him
keep
out.
Keep him behind the glass.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
When he's out there.
You know, a new report from the House Judiciary Committee exposed this nugget. More than 14,000 federal employees accessed Americans' private financial data over 3 million times to target the conservatives and the Trump supporters.
Huh.
Can you believe that?
Yep.
Wow. You know. Here's one. I love this. You know, everybody wants to talk about, you know, the liberals and how open-minded and how nice and everything they are. Well, you know, here's one that says, D.C. food workers vow Trump officials won't feel welcomed when dining out in our nation's capital.
Okay.
Says food workers in Washington, D.C. are pledging to refuse service and cause other inconveniences for members of the incoming Trump administration when they dine out over the next 4 years. Mm. Well, isn't that open-minded and being nice and all kumbaya?
So. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. You know, in my restaurant, I don't care if you're a flaming liberal or a right-wing radical conservative like I am.
Right. Just buy a piece of pie.
Show me the money.
Just buy a piece of pie.
I'm in business for one reason, folks. You think it's to feed you lunch. It's actually for you to bring me money. Right. I give you lunch so you can give me money.
Well, Larry, let me ask you this. I don't see this in your notes here, but what about TikTok?
Oh, TikTok, dear God. I knew
that
you'd
was
work
the biggest, I mean, you
I
know,
knew you would work that into this show. I knew you
I
had to.
I was not going to let you get by without it.
Well, you know, I sent you a
12 hours.
Well, I sent you a nice text yesterday, Randy. I sent you a really nice text because I knew you'd be mourning the fact that TikTok had been taken away from you.
It was just 12 hours. I didn't get to order one thing.
And who do you think that you can thank for that?
Trump.
Donald J.
Yes.
Trump. Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But you know, there's people that are on TikTok right now saying, "We're glad it's back on. We're glad it's back on. We're glad it's back on." And then in the same tick that they're ticking, they say, "We can't stand Trump."
Right.
He was the one that got it back on, guys.
Sure he was.
Give me a break.
Biden took it off.
Yeah.
Trump put it back on. Trump said, I think it was in his rally speech last night, he said, "What I did was I made China agree that they will sell 50% of the company to somebody, investors here in America."
Right. I'll buy it.
So
I'd like to have
it. Well, you know, Mr. Wonderful off of Shark Tank,
yeah,
he said he'll throw in, I think it was $20 billion for it. I mean, it's a cash cow, money-making thing.
I know it. I could throw in $2,000.
Well, I might scrape up that.
So, yeah.
Why don't they just go
public and then those, you know, then we could just buy the shares.
Well, I guess my only question, and I'll ask this, maybe you'll appreciate it, maybe you won't. If he'll do this and if they want to pick on TikTok, let me back up. First of all, I think that they're picking on TikTok because they say that they're tracing all of your purchases, tracing what you're searching and all
exactly.
of this stuff.
Exactly.
And they're a communist country.
Exactly. They're tracing. They're tracing all my stuff that I bought for my dog.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
I bought her a little toy dog the other day. It was a whole, you know, $9.95. Right. They tracked it.
Yeah.
I've bought, you know, all my little things. I have a shelf that has all my TikTok stuff on it. They probably have tracked every bit of that.
So if here's my thing is you don't think Facebook is doing the same thing?
Well,
they're doing the same identical thing. It's just American owned, as far as we know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand it. To me, there's a thin line of hypocrisy here that I'm not understanding. I need somebody smarter than me to explain it to me.
Well, I don't know about TikTok because they kicked me off. So, but
Facebook.
Facebook. Yeah. I'm sorry. But I do know that, you know, I told you we were going to Frisco next weekend.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I was talking about it, saying, hey, do we need a hotel? We need to look at getting an Airbnb or whatever. And all of a sudden, I mean, the next day, my phone starts going off and sending me ads on Frisco Airbnb advertisements. Stay here, stay here, stay here. Was that TikTok was off the air. So that wasn't TikTok listening to that.
If you have one of these, which is an Apple iPhone, that sucker sitting here listening to every one of us right now. It's listening to this entire podcast, okay?
I need some money.
Okay, let me tell you this little story. We were at Courtney's house. I don't know. I bet it was close to 10 years ago. And I come in the living room. The whole family is sitting there, okay?
Right.
And I said, okay, guys, you're going to think I'm truly crazy. You're going to say, good God, Dad's lost it completely. I said, but I'm telling you, these phones are bugged. They're listening to us. And I'm telling you for a fact, they're tracing everything we say.
It knows I'm going to Frisco next weekend.
My son got up this big, nasty smirk, okay? Now, no one else had any reaction. They just kind of sat there. I think they were like, oh my God, you know, here he goes again.
Right.
My son started smirking. I said, I knew you'd think I was crazy. He goes, no, I'm not any way saying that. He said, we've had this same conversation, he and his wife at home.
Uh-huh.
She says every time she talks to a friend about, you know,
anything,
I need a pink pillow.
Guess what?
Boom. Here comes ads either through text, email, Facebook, any social media. Boom, here it comes. Mm-hmm. And he said, you sound exactly like her.
Right.
I said, well, I'm just telling you. So if you don't believe me, folks, take a test. Just keep your iPhone in the room and talk about a vacation. Talk about something you're wanting to buy. Talk about... I think I'm going to buy me a new bass boat. Okay? And talk to several of your friends about a bass boat.
Mm-hmm.
And then see how long it takes for them to start popping up ads on your social media. You know, I think I said one time on here that Dallas and I, my son-in-law, and I watched this documentary on how Google and different ones were tracing us and how they were listening in.
Yeah.
And one of the head engineers that used to be there that helped them put all that program together, he come out and he just spilled his guts. He said, yeah, this is exactly what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
You can turn it off, but I just hadn't done it.
Well, you can try.
There is ways you can turn that off.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever.
I figure they know
it. That's it.
They know more about me than, you know.
So TikTok can learn about all the stuff I buy for my dog and little, you know, things, knickknacks. Yeah. I mean, I got it down on one button. You know, you push the one button and the 2 days it's here. Now, I guarantee you there's sometime I push the button and I never see it.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's the thing.
Is your credit card getting hit?
Yeah.
But they never deliver it?
No.
You just pay for it?
Yeah.
Good God, Andy. Well, it's,
you know, $9 and... But I order so many little things, I can't keep up with them. I've got boxes in there, hadn't even opened yet.
I think it's a senior moment that you don't even remember what all you're getting.
That's exactly
I'm going to sneak behind your back, and I'm going to go and talk to Donna and ask her, check the credit card and see how much TikTok is
you
got
to talk to Shelly. She's the one that goes through all that.
Okay, all right. I'll talk to Shelly. She's the...
She's the numbers lady.
Well, let's just for a second shift gears and talk about J.D. Vance.
Cool.
I like J.D.
Vance. I do too. You know, I never heard of him, never knew him, never anything about him. But I'm going to tell you, when he started in those interviews, he was, and I've said this before, Trump needs to have somebody beating his drum.
Yeah.
The same beat that Trump's beating. Right. And I think he's doing it.
Yeah. I think so too. And, you know, I read a couple of articles about J.D. Vance and about why in the world did Trump really choose him? Because, again, I had never heard of him. I went and watched his movie. Didn't we watch that together?
Yes.
Okay. I thought so. You know, but they say several of Trump's handlers, you know, real close to him, says that he chose J.D. Vance because he was a move for the future.
Yeah.
He really feels like he's the guy because he wanted somebody deliberate to pick, kind of regardless of who he was going to run against, whether it was Biden or Kamala. He said he needed a generational pick, somebody that could cross generational lines. And I think that you're actually seeing with him shaking hands and you know, the hostage family that we saw right before we come on the air.
Yes.
That was coming across. He was touching them and shaking hands with them as personal as really Trump was. And I really feel like he's going to be the torch carrier for the MAGA movement.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I think that's and Trump has often said, I want this movement to go far beyond me. So I just hope that they position Vance well for the 2028 race, and I think that has to start today.
Right.
I mean, the campaign for 2028 has to start today, and I hope my only concern is that I know that Elon Musk is a great guy, and everybody loves Elon, you know, and stuff. And we saw him last night, if you will, you know, give a little bit of a speech and all there at the rally, which he did a great job. He and his little boy. Do you know his boy's name is X?
I know his children have some interesting names.
His son X was with him. I'm like, okay, that's where he come up with the name for Twitter, you know, change the date. So anyway, I just hope that they don't push Elon out there so far that Vance takes kind of a second spot to him. I really hope they position Vance from day one that this is the future. After I get done, then we're coming back out to the rallies and we're going to be working with J.D. Vance.
To groom him for the next 4 years?
I really think so. I really do. I think he's a good guy. So, well, I'll tell you one thing that, and we'll close here in just a minute, but one thing that we're going to see is I think some nationwide election integrity laws put in place along with a whole bunch of other things. Everybody talks about elections being corrupted and being wrong and this kind of thing so far off.
Right.
But you and I learned some good news in the last week about Michael White.
Oh, yeah.
Michael White's the new election commissioner, Republican election commissioner.
Yes.
And he left his party and moved over to the Republican side. And then they elected him as the new commissioner, and he's actually going to be our guest next week.
Good. You know, I took him fishing Friday.
Oh, okay.
He froze.
I bet.
He did catch a couple, though. We did. Well, I think we came home with 13 crappie, but he loved it. But it was out on Lake Maumelle, and the wind was horrific.
Well, I'm glad you told me that story because next week on the air, I'm going to look at him and say, Michael, I got to tell you, buddy, I am smarter than you. And I proved it because I got that invitation for last Friday's fishing.
You did.
I turned it down.
You did not go.
I got it before you did. And I said, no, it's too cold.
Well, you came home with 13.
You said, I got a heater. Yeah, well, forget that mess. Chip the ice off of the water. But he's going to be with us, and he's going to talk about Pulaski County and there was some problems with some election results, and he uncovered them, and I think he got taken. He got him taken care of, and
he's going to make sure he's going to make sure it doesn't happen again.
I hope so, and I really want to have a good conversation next week with him. I'm not so for sure that all of this electronic balloting and all of this is all good for us. I love a computer, and I love to computerize everything, but I just don't know if all this electronic voting can be trusted anymore.
Right.
Maybe I'm going old-fashioned. Maybe I really am an old fart. I don't know.
Yeah, I know it.
Well, folks, it's been fun to be with you tonight. America really is great again. And I can sense the spirit of communism getting lifted from America. Donald J. Trump is back in office.
And tomorrow starts the same old thing again.